programs are doctrinally sound, theologically conservative, and financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing an issue today that whether we do it in reality or just simply do it philosophically is a real issue that must be dealt with. The Bible, should it be banned or just burned? And I use that rhetoric because we find in Jeremiah the 36th chapter, 32 verses in that chapter, by the way, where the king heard the Bible read and cut it out, cut page after page after page, threw it in the fireplace. Have you ever read that text? Jeremiah the 36th chapter. Let me encourage you to this evening, take that chapter, read the 32 verses, analyze it. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. Just before the top of the hour news, I was talking about how many people in America read the Bible. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What do you think? Should we ban the Bible? Should it just be burned? Should it be discarded? Should it be a top drawer in the public arena? Should the president be able to, without contradiction, without consternation, without conflict, should he be able to read the Bible publicly? If a person is saved or lost, does that make a difference if he chooses to read the Bible? Isn't it wonderful for a person to read the Bible, saved or lost? Isn't it wonderful for it to be read publicly? And you see the expression of what God says that is falling onto the ears of those that are hearing that might heed what he said? Earlier we started with headline, nearly half of Americans are Bible readers. Here's how much scripture they have read. Let me just reread a brief portion and then go back to the finish. Just shy of a half of Americans have read 50% of the Bible, but only a quarter qualify as active scripture readers, according to the just released data. The American Bible Society surveyed 2,649 U.S. adults from January the 8th through the 27th and found that 48% of Americans say have read half the Bible or more, including 17% who said they've read the entire Bible. Another 17% said they've read most of the Bible, and 14% said they've read about half the scripture. 35% of the respondents said they read very little of the Bible, while 7% of the respondents admitted they're not sure how much the Bible they've ever read. Here's the final. A plurality of Americans, 42%, never used the Bible, with 13% using it less than once a year, and 7% said they've read it only once or twice per year. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe therein lies the problem. I believe this is the reason we find so many that are objecting to the Bible being read. I believe this is why we find so many people, especially in the House and the Senate and those in the bureaucratic halls of Congress that have the position that the Bible ought not to be read publicly. It is revolting to them. They're rejecting it because they do not know what it says. They do know what it represents. It represents God and God speaking to humanity, and they reject God. They reject anything that's called morals and ethics and values. That's been proven, ladies and gentlemen, through the Biden administration, Auto Pen Biden, Sleepy Joe Biden, where there was a push by every department in the federal government and the state governments at that time, following the leadership of Joe Biden, that I believe hated God, hated the Word of God, rejected anything that was morals and ethics and values, and was pushing more and more every program, every dot, every tittle of that he was writing and doing for the United States of America, that it must include the butchering of healthy baby parts called transgenderism. He was pushing for the socialist, Marxist, communist ideal. He was pushing for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. He was pushing for abortion on demand in any fashion. And now here we have a president that's wanting to highlight, headline, morals and ethics and values. Here's a president, Donald J. Trump, that's willing to expose himself for the laughter, the mockery, and the ridicule just because he's reading 2 Chronicles 7:14 and other attributing verses that we'll talk about in a moment. But I believe it is sad that we're in a nation where there's ridicule, mockery, calamity, collision, and chaos just because the president, the president of the United States, reading 3 or 4 verses publicly from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible stays on the shelf, there's no argument. When the Bible collects dust, there's no concern. When the Bible is silent, with no one reading it, no one presenting it, no one proclaiming it, there's silence, no concern about it. But when the Bible is elevated to a position of honoring God and recognizing God, and calling for submission and surrender as a nation to the hand of God. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the only way America has survived for 250 years is because of our, within the past couple of hundred years, our dependence upon God, our willingness to honor God, and the recognition of God within the realm of society. We've come to the point and place in America today where most events, sporting events, entertainment events, training events, take place on Saturday and Sunday, pulling people out of church. I believe that it is absolutely that which ought not to be. Multitudes of Christians will say, well, you know, I've got a convention for Sunday. I've got a meeting for Sunday. I'm going skiing Sunday. I'm going boating Sunday. That's my only day to rest. I'm going to stay in bed on Sunday, et cetera, et cetera, ignoring the Word of God. I believe this is the reason our nation today is plummeting morally, ethically, spiritually. Because we have plummeted to the point where the Bible is a rare thing to be heard of or to be read. Perhaps you recall, ladies and gentlemen, back just a few years ago during the Iraq War, when our men were there being, some being slaughtered, ISIS, the enemy, burned hundreds and hundreds of Christian Bibles. Let me just read you one of the headlines. ISIS burns hundreds of Bibles in Mosul. ISIS terrorists cut a video showing the burning of hundreds of Christian Bibles and Christian literature in Mosul. It shows how very serious the group is about eradicating all faiths outside the Islamic sect. Ladies and gentlemen, there would have been no zip zero, no argument. There would have been no complaints. There would be no calamity. There would be no consternation. There would be no coverage if President Biden had read from the Quran or if President Trump were to read from the Quran. You wouldn't hear a squeak from the media. You wouldn't hear a word of conflict or consternation or calamity or confronting as a result of it. But it's the Bible. And the Bible is the book that is to be banned or burned in the hearts, as for the hearts and the minds go in our nation today. I'm looking at a headline that basically speaks to what I'm saying. Pull those pages out, colon. I'm looking at a headline now. Church bishop claims the Bible is not really the Word of God, and a third testament is required. dated April 21st, 2026. A bishop of the United Church of Christ has lashed out angrily at the Bible, condemning it as not being the Word of God, and is totally unacceptable because of the verses it contains. Yvette Flunder, F-L-U-N-D-E-R, senior pastor of the City of Refuge United Church of Christ in Oakland, California, has the perfect solution. Rip out the pages that she finds offensive and have a third testament to fix the first two that are not right. She goes extremist even in the community of extremists who already have found biblical support for the LGBTQ lifestyle, biblical support for abortion, biblical support for racism, and much more. A report reveals she, speaking of the bishop, presiding bishop of the Fellowship of Affirming Ministries, and an avowed womanist and a proponent of liberation theology. Further, she is gay married to another woman and is about as progressive as liberals can come. Addressing the Center of Public Theology and Public Policy, she demanded, quote, "I'm of the opinion that we need a third testament because the Bible has become too problematic," end quote. She further says, "Now I believe, I'm a believer." This is laughable, ladies and gentlemen. She says, "I'm a believer. My whole heart, I trust God. And with my whole heart, I wake up in the morning talking to God. And He's talking to me. But I'm completely frustrated with the ways in which the text speaks to the kind of vitriol God that makes those things happen or being said." And people will say, "Well, it's in the book." And I said, "Then we need to pull those pages out." And they said, "Well, we can't do it. It's the Word of God." I said, "No, it's not the Word of God. Come on now." "But it is the Word of God." "No, it's not the Word of God." Here's a person that's in the position, number one, that Bible condemns and says no for a woman to stand in the pulpit and be the pastor of a local New Testament church. But secondly, she stands in the position to be a total heretic when she says the Bible is not the Word of God, that the Bible makes should be condemned and rewritten, because what she is saying, the Bible condemns sin. The Bible condemns the sin of sodomy. The Bible condemns the sin of abortion. The Bible condemns the sin of those that have said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And she said, let's rewrite it. Let's come up with a new version. And ladies and gentlemen, multitudes are doing that today, down through the years, wanting a new version of the Word of God. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a moment to go to a biblical text that says this is not brand new. What we're seeing about the condemnation of the Bible, about the wanting to ban or burn the Bible, this is not brand new at all. In fact, you find in Jeremiah, the 36th chapter, God told Jeremiah to take the book and to write therein the words that I tell you, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, "Take thee the roll of the book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day." And it says in verse 3, "Maybe that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." And Jeremiah called Barak the son of Nerah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Ladies and gentlemen, God says to Jeremiah, "Write what I tell you." And he gave him the words, verse 1, 2, and 3. Told him to preach the words, verses 6 through 10, Jeremiah the 36th chapter. He says to publish it and to preach it. That is, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, put it on radio, put it on television, put it on billboards, the written word of God, make it public, and then preach it, proclaim it, even to the highest office, he says, in the verses 6 through 10. And then we find in verses 7 and following, when the word of God was published, when it was presented, when it was proclaimed in the homes and in the house of God, the nation's politicians, the nation's leaders, became concerned and angry. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you, what we see happening today, is not brand new. It's old stuff, if you will. It happened back in the era that we find in Jeremiah, the 36th chapter. Jehoiakim is the king. He's the king of Judah. And the word of God came to Jeremiah, the scripture says, saying to him, take the scroll, write the words that I tell you. It's God giving the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God to the one that authored it. And then when the king and the princes and the politicians, the potentates, heard it, they were concerned. Can you imagine driving down the freeway in Judah of that era? Of course, I'm giving a hypothetical setting. Look at a big billboard. And the billboard says, Judah, this is your sin. This is what you've done. And I'm God, and this is what I'm going to do. They get pretty heavy in their consternation. Verses 14 through 19, the political leaders, the princes, called for the word to be read in their presence. Listen, they had heard it. They had seen it. They wanted it to be read personally so that they could hear it one-on-one. They did. When they heard it, they became fearful, they became angry, and so they said, let's go tell the king. And they told the king says, I want it to be read. I want to hear it. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the text in verses 20 and following, it is fascinating. And they went to the king and to the court, and they laid up the roll in the chamber of the scribes and told all the words to the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehoiada to fetch the roll, and he took it out, and the scribes out of the scribes' chamber, and read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all of the princes, and they stood beside him. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and therein was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And ladies and gentlemen, there's the fireplace going, and each time a page was read, he was more wroth, and he told him, tear it out, put it in the fire, tear it out, put it in the fire, until the whole book was stripped of any authority and any power. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is, in the latter portion of that text, God told Jeremiah, write it again. Hear me. The book, the Bible, had been burned by the political leadership of that era because he didn't like what God had said he was going to do in judging Judah. As a result of that, the whole book, the Bible, was destroyed. But God told Jeremiah, write another book. Write it again. It came to pass, he read the three of the four leaves. He cut it out with a penknife, cast it into the fire. It was in the hearth until the roll was all consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. And then he said Jeremiah to him, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the book and the words of the Baruch which he had written in the mouth of Jeremiah. He said, take thee again another roll and write it in the former words as I give to you. Ladies and gentlemen, God's in charge. God's in control. God's word's not going to be banned. God's word's not going to be burned. God's word's not going to be put to naught. God's word is authoritative even today, just as it was then. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some more good news. Good news is that we have the Bible. The good news, we have the word of God. The good news is that the Bible stands and speaks, and God is the authority of that. But the good news is, other good news today. Headline reads, federal grand jury charges the Southern Poverty Law Center with fraud over hate ratings. Now, you may never have heard of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Ladies and gentlemen, the Southern Poverty Law Center was developed back in the late 60s, came into power in the 70s, and it was designed to, supposedly, it was designed to protect some groups that were not being recognized in that era. It was designed supposedly to meet the needs as protecting this, as it's called, Southern Poverty Law Center. It has not done that. Let me just read to you this article. A federal grand jury in Alabama on Tuesday indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center in 11 counts of wire fraud, bank fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, as the Justice Department accused the group that rose to fame during the 60s and the early 70s for the civil rights movement of paying members of the 21st century extremist groups to stoke hatred in America. The SPLC is a nonprofit entity that purports to fight white supremacy, racial hatred, by reporting the extremist groups and considering conducting research to inform law enforcement groups with the goal of dismantling these groups. Ladies and gentlemen, Southern Poverty Law Center has been furnishing information, especially during the Barack Hussein Obama administration and the Joe Biden administration, furnishing their FBI, the Department of Justice, with absolute fabrications and lies that's now coming to light. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been persecuting and prosecuting and putting out lists about Christian organizations, calling them hate crime groups, calling them Islamophobic groups. For example, the Family Research Council, American Family Association, D. James Kennedy Ministries, the Center for Family and Human Rights, Faith to Action Church, Family Foundation of Virginia, Family Action Committee, Council of Tennessee, Citizens for Community Values, Center for Christian Values, etc., etc., etc. I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the list. Traditional Values Coalition, Abiding Truth Ministries, American Vision. Ladies and gentlemen, the list of the Southern Poverty Law Center had over 900, hear me, over 900 organizations, including, and a large majority of those, Christian or moral ethical groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center deemed as being hate groups. And the Obama administration and the Joe Biden administration used those lists to persecute, to prosecute, and to put in prison those Christian individuals and Christian groups that would stand in front of abortion centers and just pray. They would put something on social media about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Even some groups of Catholic churches were persecuted and prosecuted under the leadership of Joe Biden based on the Southern Poverty Law Center that had posted false information. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes beyond that. Federal government's looking at them now as a result of the fact that the very groups that supposedly they were revealing, i.e., the Ku Klux Klan, they were giving the Ku Klux Klan up to $3 million to continue what they were doing. Antifa, providing Antifa with funds to continue to do what they have been doing. And yet they supposedly were standing for truth. This writing says the Southern Poverty Law Center is a nonprofit entity reporting to fight crime and white supremacy and racial hatred, reporting extremist groups, conducting research, and informing, this is the key, informing law enforcement groups with the goal of dismantling these groups. Which groups? Churches, Christian organizations, religious organizations, organizations that will stand publicly against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, the organizations that stood publicly and still stand against the butchering of healthy body parts and the transgenderism, the groups, the organizations, the churches that would stand publicly against murder by way of abortion. These, ladies and gentlemen, it's all inclusive. As I said, over 900 organizations and groups. And these, for the most part, being Christian groups and Christian organizations that was used to funnel information to the governmental organizations, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, etc., etc., to persecute and prosecute Christians and churches in America. This article reads, the SPLC was not dismantling these groups, these ones that were really bad groups, I'm saying. It was instead manufacturing the extremist in purports, it reports. It was manufacturing the extremist it purports to oppose by paying sources to stroke racial hatred and to carry out the racial animus. Blanche, that is the one that is the acting attorney general, said the group was charged with 6 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of bank fraud, 1 count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. He said the SPLC had paid at least $3 million to 8 members of these extremist groups. Listen to this. Among the groups whose members received funds were the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, the Aryan Nations Group, the Nationalist Socialist Party, and the American Nazi Party. I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm appalled by it. My wife and I have talked about it for quite some time, for years. How is it they were allowed to continue? Why is it there was never any investigation when they would give the federal government, the governmental agencies, the law enforcement agencies, the names of organizations, churches, and Christian organizations, and these law enforcement organizations, never doing an investigation, never doing a checking, never recognized the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center had its design purpose to undermine, tear down, and destroy the churches and Christianity. It goes back to Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that is the very crime that has been taking place. It is my prayer that these indictments will hold, that the indictments will not be in some way cast aside, but will be prosecuted appropriately as the Bible would mandate that it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we close with these words from the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me read that and pause for a moment. These are the words that President Trump read. This is in part. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I might add the word, then will forgive their sin, and then will heal their land. There's a predicate there that must be carried out. These things that are called for here, if my people, and in the context of it, it's the dedicatory prayer from King Solomon when the temple was built and it was dedicated. He said, if my people, which you call by my name, talking about the Jewish people, in application, it is applicable today to the Christian. If my people, Christian, which you call by my name, Christian, shall humble themselves. This is a challenge to the church today. If my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves, that is, come before God and confess the sin, and will come before God and looking for God's face and seek my face. Seeking the face of God says seek to please God. Repentance, turn from their wicked ways, personally and nationally, repent. Then, ladies and gentlemen, it's after my people, the Christian church and the Christians, have come before God, confess sin, and turn from the wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. He says, then will I heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time for America to, as the president read on national internet, nationally could hear his voice. I believe it's time that we recognize, if my people, which call by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will forgive their sins and heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that the broadcast today has been challenging for us to recognize and realize what we have in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.